Good evening. It's good to be with you all and see you all out this afternoon. And I hope that the afternoon has been good to you and that you're ready and eager to study this evening. We'll be studying like it's 1999. So if you want to get out your Bible and turn to Psalms chapter 19. I want to begin by telling you a story that I'm sure many of you have heard at some point or another, or did some research on it, and you know it seems to be based on some true happenings, but entirely true, not so sure. But it appeared in Reader's Digest about what would be now about 60 years ago, and it goes like this: the USS Abraham Lincoln was out in the northern part of the Atlantic, and as it began to get toward the eastern shoreline of the Canadian border, saw a light off in the distance. It began to tell that light, it radioed in and said, "This is the USS Lincoln, and I command you to veer north 15 degrees. The response came over the line that said, "This is the Canadian Navy. You veer 15 degrees to the north to avoid collision. Well, the captain got on the line of the ship and he said, "This is the captain of the USS Lincoln. I am accompanied by three destroyer ships and I am the second largest aircraft carrier in the Atlantic fleet. And I command you to veer your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid collision, or we will remove you. This is the Canadian Navy. I am a lighthouse. I repeat, veer your degrees 15 degrees to the north or you will have collision." So there's a warning that is given out by a lighthouse that tells you that I'm something that you don't want to hit. That's the whole purpose of a lighthouse, is to give you a warning, to give you a sign that says, "Don't come near me. Don't hit me." The other day, Saturday afternoon, we went to Reed's birthday party, and Lawson was being Lawson, and he was going back and forth, and the lifeguard said to him, "Don't run. No running." So he would walk right by that lifeguard, and as soon as she would turn her head, he would take off running. And we talked to him about it this morning. And we said, "Lawson, didn't you get in trouble by the lifeguard yesterday?" He said, "No, I didn't get in trouble. I just got a warning. I just got a warning from the lifeguard not to be running." But this idea about warnings is what we're going to look at this evening, and heeding the warning. In Psalms chapter 19, verse 7, it says this: "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." We are warned by the commandments of God. We are warned as servants of God, things that we ought to do and things that we are to abstain from and stay away from altogether. Great is the reward to the servant who heeds the warnings of God. I want you to think back to Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, he is given the command that he is to go to Nineveh and that he is to preach to Nineveh and tell them to repent lest they be destroyed. And we know the story of Jonah very well, and Jonah said, "No, this isn't for me. I'm not going to Nineveh." And he flees to Tarshish, and of course we know how the story goes of how he gets on that ship and the great storm comes up, and he is the reason for the storm, and he removes himself from the ship and spends 3 days in the belly of a great fish, where he himself is the one who cries to God for repentance. He goes on to Nineveh. Nineveh, upon hearing the word of the Lord, does what? Well, they decide to ultimately heed that warning. Jonah was ready to just be done with them and to throw them away. They will never, ever listen. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 7, we are told about Noah as one of the great characters of faith found in this chapter. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to their faith." You see, Noah was given things that he had not yet seen. He was made aware of something that had not been seen by anyone, and according to this, and I think according to Scripture as well, when it says have been divinely warned of things not yet seen, it kind of alludes to the fact that the idea of rain upon the earth had not yet come to pass. And so this idea of a great rain, especially that of a flood and a worldwide flood, would be something not expected by anyone of the day and time. But Noah heard the warning. He heeded to the warning that God had given him that said, you need to build a great big old boat. And you need to do it to my commands. And you need to do it to my, you know, requirements and my specifications. And Noah did just that. And in doing so, and in obeying God, and doing as God commanded him, he and his three sons, his wife and their wives, were also in a like manner saved. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 18 through verse 20, Peter recalls this also of Noah heeding the warning. It says in verse 18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water." For over 100 years, Noah built this ark. The warning of God came not only from God himself, but it came, and Noah also proclaimed this coming, impending danger that was going to face the entire world. There's no doubt, and there's no way of hiding a 3-football field long boat in your backyard. I mean, I don't care how high your fence is, and it's 3 stories tall and just as wide almost as a football field. And so when we look at these things, we think, there's no way this boat is hidden. Everyone had to be saying, I mean, if you're working on a car or a lawnmower in your backyard, your neighbor's going to be like, what you working on over there? What you got going on back there? So if you're building this great big old ark, surely your neighbor is going to see that and say, Noah, what's going on? Well, I just thought I'd build a boat. No. As God was patiently waiting on Noah to build the ark, he was also patiently waiting on anyone who would also repent. Seeing the warning signs of danger causes us, even in this day, to be moved and motivated to action. When there is a threat of severe weather or a storm, especially in our world of North Alabama, we pay attention. It gets our attention. And when the warning really goes out, we know that we should have already made preparation, so that we can heed the warning and that we might find safety. This is the kind of thing that God gives us every day. He sends out these warnings. He sent the warning to Nineveh by way of Jonah. He sent the warning to the world by way of Noah. We should be warning to obey, and we should obey God. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, It says this, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they will always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest." They had seen what the power of God was capable of. They had seen what happens when you are disobedient to God or you go in a way which is not the way of the Lord. They saw it behind them as the Red Sea closed up its grip and the water came all around those Egyptians as they were leading and going through escape. Yet they find themselves in the wilderness longing to go back to that land of captivity and slavery where at least we had food to eat. At least we had a bed to lay our heads in. God said because they were not obedient, those of this generation would not enter in. In verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 3, it says this, "And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey?" So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. There also lies for us ahead a great rest, a great promised land, a great land of paradise, and which we long for and we hope for. But also the same story is told that those who do not believe, those of unbelief, they will not enter in. We must challenge ourselves and think on ourselves. Are we ones who have belief, although we are here in this, as it were, the wilderness of the world? And we are wandering around and longing for home, hoping to search and find God as we long to serve Him. And we choose every day whether we will or we will not obey Him. We have this great warning that is given to us by God that was also given to the Israelites to obey, because the disobedient do not enter in the land of rest. Over in Jeremiah, and also in a like manner in the book of Ezra, this similar situation is found. In Jeremiah chapter 6 is a warning that is given to the Israelites to turn from idolatry, or they too will become captives to the Babylonians. And then, as we know the end of the story, that they are not going to listen. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 10, it says this, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them and they have no delight in it." They are not hearing the warnings. They are not listening and following the word of God and doing what He says. In Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 10, it says, They have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers who refused to hear." Refused to hear what? "Who refused to hear my words. And they have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant which I made with their fathers." God had made this covenant that they will be His people. "And I shall be your God." But they had turned to idols. Had they not seen everything that happened when you go against God? Had they not time and time again had the record of things that would happen when they turned their back against God and they choose not to follow God? Did they not see and hear the warnings not only of those of past but also of those of present day coming from Ezra and Jeremiah? Or coming from Jeremiah, let's see. What were they doing? They were not listening. They were not paying attention to the words of God. Jeremiah, back in chapter 6, again in verse 19, it says this, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. Rejecting the Lord. They had not heeded the warning. They had not heard the ample warning that was been made of the things that would happen to not only anyone, but especially to them who had that covenant with God, who had that covenant of protection with God. He would always take care of them. That He would always be faithful to them. That they would be His people if they would make Him their God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 14, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says this: I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. When we read the Scriptures, and we read of the things of old that came to fruition, that God said, hey, this is about to happen, that this is going to happen, that if you don't turn around, this bad thing will happen. You're going to go into captivity. If you do not heed God's warning, you're going to die in the whole worldwide flood. And they just don't listen. They never heard the warnings. To we this day, we are told certain things and we are taught certain ways, and particularly in the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians, it's kind of like this. You've got some problems that are going on, and I'm not telling you this to shame you. I'm telling you this to warn you that if you do not correct these actions, if the way your current angle of which you are going, your current path is a path that is going to not bring happiness to God. It is not a path of righteousness. You need to turn. You need to get on another path. I am trying to warn you that you need to correct some action. So we need to examine ourselves, and we need to look internally and ask ourselves a few questions and ask, are we ourselves heeding the warnings of God? Let's ask ourselves this question. Are we rejecting God's ample warning by unwillingness to repent and render obedience to His Word? Over in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, Jesus tells them that not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It is not just simply being able to know about Jesus. And it's not just simply enough to know what the Bible says. It is about us obeying and doing what we have heard. In Romans chapter 2 and in verse 13 it says this: For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. We must understand that although we may be great Bible scholars and we may know stories of the Bible and we may be able to quote numerous scriptures, if we are not found as those who are obeying and doing the things that God has taught us, we should heed this warning that we ought to do it. Over in James chapter 1, in verse 22, it says this: But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Are we heeding God's warning to repent and to render obedience to His Word and His way and His path that He would have us to go down? For that path is narrow and difficult. But the way that leads to destruction is broad and easy is its way. We must find ourselves heeding to God's warning to obey and repent. What about this? Are we taking advantage of God's long-suffering and ample warning to prepare ourselves for the certain coming of the Lord? Jesus is coming back, and there is no question about it. And we must understand that by His coming back, that we need to be prepared for it. And Jesus spent much of His time in the latter moments and weeks of His ministry talking about that day. In Matthew chapter 24, if you want to be turning there, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. It likens the coming of the Lord to that also, as we looked at earlier, the days of Noah. And how there was preparation and time to be made, and how there's preparation and time for us to repent and to obey God's command and to be ready for the second coming of Christ. But of that day, it says in verse 36, and of the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field and one will be taken and the other left. And two women will be grinding at the mill and one taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. The Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. In the process of building our house, Haley has looked very, very deeply into the idea of security and video cameras and alarms and all these kind of things. And oftentimes, what are you trying to do? You know, that's kind of the angle in which you have to approach some of this security. Are you trying to keep people from taking it? Are you trying to get somebody called that somebody's there and that they're taking it? Are you just trying to have maybe some kind of notification that, hey, somebody came and they took it and now they're gone? You know, you got three different kind of levels there, and you got the bronze, the silver, and the gold, and just depending on that price point, you can pick which one you want to have. But the thing is, if we knew when the thief was going to come, we could make sure maybe we'd have somebody over there, or we'd borrow somebody's Doberman and set him out there on the front porch and make sure everything was locked and the hatches were battened down, so to speak. But the thing is you don't know. You don't ever know. And so you have to do this kind of on the forefront to say, well, we don't know when the thief is going to come, so we just have to be ready from day one. In a like manner, and in all more importance, should we be ready from day one for the return of Jesus? Hey, yeah, sure, if we knew exactly when He was going to come back, we could, you know, go ahead and say, hey, you know, I need to be ready by this day. You know, in 2037 on the 3rd of April, you know, that's when He's going to come back. Okay, well, you got till April the 2nd of 2037 to kind of get things lined up. But the thing is not only do we not know, angels don't know. Jesus said of Himself that I don't know. Only the Father knows. And Jesus says, I'm obedient to the Father. And He has proved that to us in the way that He lived and the way that He died and His commitment to the cross. And so when His Father says, it's time, go, He's going to come. The question is not going to be, you know, well, is that Him? Does it look like Him? The question is, are you ready? Because that's the only part of the equation that we have any control over. And we can worry and we can fret about all these other things in the world and in our lives, but the thing is of most importance that we need to be ready today. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 It says this in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things that we commanded you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. We need to look at and we need to examine us waiting patiently for God. He asked the church in Thessalonica to pray for us that the word of the Lord may go swiftly, that it may get to everyone rapidly, and that everyone would be able to hear about the gospel, because we don't know when the Lord is coming back. And so we're trying to tell as many people as we can, as fast as we can, as far away as we can, about the love of God and His love for the world, and that He gave His only begotten Son. And that is our aspiration. He says to pray for us that it could go quickly. In verse 11 it says this, "For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person, do not keep a company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." Now, I did all that reading right there and made some really good points concerning what we were just talking about. That wasn't even the thing that I wanted to talk about. So, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I just read all that from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and all of pretty much 2 Thessalonians is about being ready for the day of the Lord. So that's why it all fit real well, that we need to be ready. In verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. The man of sin is revealed to the sons of perdition." Verses 11 and 12 tell us this, "For this reason God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." His coming is going to be like that in the days of Noah. His coming is going to come swiftly. And there are going to be people who have heard the word and who have fallen away and chased after some fable and some lie. They will not be ready. There's people all around us who have fallen away. This world is full of wickedness and of sin. If there was ever a time in which the warning signs that, the warning of God may be coming, it is important for us to take heed and to take note and to be ready. Question number 3, do we have an attitude of continual repentance and confession? Over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, tells us this. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Do we continually repent? Do we continually confess? You know, our attitude toward repentance and confession is not that of, well, you know, I can go live how I want to live and do what I want to do because I can confess and repent and I'll be good to go. Paul told the church at Rome that God forbid that that be your attitude. God forbid that you just go out and say, well, I'll continue in sin and grace will abound and grace will comfort me and cover all of my sins. We have this comfort that if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us. But the whole idea of repentance is that, hey, I was doing this sin over here, and I was doing these sinful things, and I have turned my back on them, and I've gone the other direction. If you haven't had a chance to read the writing and the article in the Exhorter from Adam that he wrote this week, or he put his name on there, Jensen Mayer wrote it, but it's a really good thought into this. I don't do those things anymore. And sometimes that means leaving those that we hang around and those people that we associate with, because I'm going to repent. I'm not going to have anything to do with those things in those ways. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. verse 17 says this: "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Those who are ready to meet Him are those that will be always with the Lord. Are we ready? Are we always ready? Have we heeded the warnings of which God has sent to us, and sent to us through the apostles, and sent to us through His Son? Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 through 14, it says this: "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." His appearing and His being made known has been done to everyone. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you been able to hear those warnings? Are you ready? Are you looking forward to the day that you will meet Jesus in the air? Or will you be wandering around going, "That was today? Can I get just 5 more minutes?" We are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 that today is the day of salvation. This night, this moment can be your day of salvation. We pray that you will heed the warnings to obey God. Put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ. Be washed in the blood of Jesus in a watery grave of baptism. Be added to that church of which He died for to establish, and become a child of God. If you're here this evening and you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we want you to come as we stand and as we sing.